Yeah, Father, we pray, Lord, as we just gather around your word, that we gather around you, Jesus. Not just preaching or sharing, but around you, Jesus. That we will hear you. Thank you that you're working in our hearts. Thank you that you're speaking to us, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we will bring light where we need light, where there's still darkness in us, that you will bring healing where there's hurt in us. That you will bring grace, Lord, into our hearts today. I was just reminded, not really on my notes, but I was reminded in John 7, Jesus gets up at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the big Jewish festivals that they celebrated. It was really about the Israelites going out of the wilderness. And if you guys know the story about the wilderness Exodus thingy, it's a massive story. But the wilderness, they celebrated that the Lord provided. Feast of Tabernacles, obviously the tents they lived in, if you think about it, very practically. But he gets up in John 7. It says, on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." It's weird when you say stuff like that and you don't know it. You know, like, it's weird. But I feel the Lord wants to break down our thinking a bit. Transform it. It's actually a beautiful biblical word. Eh? Romans 12. Come and drink. Let anyone who's thirsty come. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in were later to receive. But so we see this invitation to come and drink. And as we drink from the Lord, there's the Spirit that we receive. And from that Spirit, there's rivers of living water flowing. But it's connected to this tabernacle thing. And the other thing that they celebrated, apart from the fact that the Lord provided as they lived in tents, is that there's a Messiah coming. You know, if you guys know that there's still a Messiah coming. We sang it the very first song. We say, and on that day, when I see him face to face, we're waiting for that day. We're waiting for that day. And that's actually why we're here. Yes, we're here to worship. Yes, we're here to do all of that. But we're here to make sure that we get there. Hey, we're here to make sure that our hearts keep running. We're here to encourage one another to make sure we get there. Because on that day, when we see him face to face, he's going to either welcome us in, or he's going to... What's the other one? I don't know you. We laugh now about it. A nervous laugh. Say, great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. To be feared above all gods. And I just, like, as we were singing, there's so much of what we're saying today. That's just the platform. It's the gospel, eh? And stirring in our hearts and allowing the Lord to just speak to us a little bit more. And waiting for that day. Till that day. If there's one thing we need every day, is to remember that there's a day coming. And we're living for that day to see our Savior face to face. Oh my goodness. And I pray that today, as we just gather around Jesus, that the glimpse we see today is enough to keep us going another day. Till tomorrow, there's going to be new more. Remember, this is not for the week. I'm not preaching for tomorrow when everything. There's only new mercies for today. You guys know, oh my goodness. So Ecclesiastes, it's Ecclesiastes. New mercies every morning. The Lord gives us new mercies every morning because we need mercies every morning. You can ask me and my wife. Who of you guys are married? I see all the husbands put up their hands. Guys, wrong answer. Oh my goodness. So a picture I saw, it's fine if Carla plays a little bit. It just feels so nice. Is you guys all right with that? Okay. Just thank you, Carla. A picture that I saw as I was praying for today was a well. Now, a well is a water place. back in the day. Now you open your tap, and bloop, it starts to run. Unless you live in Pretoria and you only get water when they give you water, or in the Free State somewhere. And a well is extremely significant because the well is literally the source of life for an area. And I actually felt that today the Lord, each of us have a well, our hearts. And we just saw it. The Lord wants living waters to flow from each one of us. Just say, me too. Like the donkey and pick me. Yes, everyone is picked. Each one of us, it's me too. There's a well within us, and the Lord wants rivers of living water to flow from each one of us. It's not about the pastor, the elder, or the priest, or the bishop, or the worship team. It's each one of us. As each one of us has hearts that well up with living. Who would like that, eh? Who wouldn't mind hearing from their wives? Again, back to the marriage. Hearing from your wives. Wow, Liffy. Yes, you just refresh me. Hey, Marcel? It's nice to hear from your... Just say it again. Who wouldn't mind being the one who refresh others? And I really feel that's the one thing that the Lord... Just want to... Actually, for some of us, our wells need to be deepened. There needs to be depth. We used to like just a quick hanky fall. Thank you, Lord, for today. And then you live. For some of us, there's some stuff in our wells. Now, the first thing we see it in Genesis, I keep doing exceptionally well there. I haven't gone to any verse yet that we... Thank you. We're gonna go now. But I was sharing with Sammy last night, and she actually reminded me. The first thing that the enemy would do when they attack an area, they would clog the wells. It's incredible. We see it in Genesis 26. And Isaac would, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Isaac would have ground, and then he would grow. He's like multiply, his land would expand. And the first thing that the Philistiner... You guys know the Philistiner. The Philistines would do, they come and throw stuff in. Because you and I die without water. Every process in any living being is dependent on water. Every organ in our bodies is dependent on that flow to be healthy. It's incredible that how the Lord designed this beautiful thing called water. And we see... In John 7 now, we see that water is the Spirit. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. Jesus said, it's better that I go. Sometimes we go like, imagine I lived when Jesus was alive. I'm like, that's a risky wish. Because what if you were the guy who, you were not Peter sitting there. And like, you were the other guy. We're like, let's settle where we are. Because each of us have a destiny and a call in this time and season that we're alive. Again, it's each one of us is picked, washed, loved, redeemed for where you are in this day and age. Perfect timing. The Lord is never... pastors always say this thing. The Lord is never early and the Lord is never late. And the Lord's timing and His call on each one of us is perfect. And the Lord wants to well up. So, so the enemy comes. So for some of us, the Lord wants to unclog. The other thing that happens with wells as well is naturally it gets dirty. The debris fall. And that also needs maintenance, if you might call it. Coming to the Lord daily. So we read, I don't know if you guys love that scripture, but Hebrews 4, I think, talks about coming to the throne of grace in our time of need. I was meditating on that verse, and one day, you guys know Paul and Michelle, Paul Kuhner, Michelle got married, and we went to their wedding, and Julius Megan, who she traveled with for a couple of years and ministered, he was sharing with me and my wife about something he meditated on that last week, and he said, he was just meditating on the new mercies of the Lord, And he was just saying, oh my goodness, the Lord wants to lavish it on us because actually we're in need. That time of need that Hebrews 4 talks about is every day. So we sometimes we make the mistake of waiting till you hit the wall and I'm like, oh, I actually should have just every morning. So that's just an encouragement. But I want to look in John chapter 4. There's a woman at a well. You guys know the story? Most of us know the story, hey? Who doesn't know? Who's never heard the story of the woman in the well? Someone, anyone? Yes, okay, everyone is clued up. Well done. So John chapter 4. Can we read from verse 4? We're reading there. From verse 3, okay. So Jesus left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And his disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, it's interesting, so Jesus had a normal life. He was also tired after his travels. His disciples had to go get food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Then Jesus answered, listen to this, verse 10. "If you knew the gift of God," and we know the gift of God because we just read it in John 7, the Spirit, "who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Living water. So we see the first thing there. If we knew, we would have asked. If we know the gift, we will ask. And not only the gift, but also who it is, you would have asked. So I read in John 7, we see this is the Holy Spirit. And she asked, and listen to her, can you get this living water? And she asked, yeah, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Verse 12 says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons?" And we sang it this morning. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be feared. And I just felt the Lord is just challenging, not just challenging, you know. He's asking again, in our hearts, there's a little seat. There's a throne in our hearts. And on that throne, who's sitting there? Who is the greatest according to my heart? This lady asked Jesus, are you greater than Jacob, our father? He dug this well. He drank from this well. His people, his children drank from the well. We see this in the next verse. His livestock drank. Who sits on the seat of honor in our hearts? I just felt the Lord is just asking us, the throne of our hearts. Who is the greatest? We were praying for anxiety this morning a bit. You know, fierce. Willy shared some stuff. No, where's Willy? He's missing. Yes, he's serving kitchens now. He's that guy. I feel the Lord is just asking us, like, am I the greatest? Am I the greatest? Is your picture of me the greatest? I'm the greatest. And I feel just let that just brew a bit in our heart as we continue. Verse 13, Jesus says, firstly, it's interesting. Jesus doesn't say, yes, I'm greater. He doesn't try to defend himself. Doesn't just say, yes, I'm the greatest. Listen to what he says. Everyone who drinks this well's water. Let me read with you. Are you greater? Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. So he shows the lady that there's two types of water you find. It's the world, the supply that we can get from our own labors, our own efforts. The Jacob, he dug this well, our own efforts. Who of you guys want to work harder in life? No one. Oh, come on, man. No one volunteer. Like one guy who wants to strive a little bit harder, who wants to dig his own wells, who wants to be the one who's known for being the greatest supply of water in the world. Or you want, sometimes, who wants to be famous? Yeah, there's one 19-year-old here at least. How old are you guys? 17. Yeah. I know when you're a little bit older than some of us, like some of us, sorry. Not than some of us. You realize that fame, glory, honor in this world, it's not something you actually want. But I think there's something in our hearts that wouldn't mind a little bit of glory. Eh? Who wants to be known for being wonderful? Wants to be great? Come on. Where's Jesse? Wants to start a YouTube channel. And then social media has become this thing. You log in and say, is there more likes? Is there more follows? It's created to fill that hole. But Jesus is saying, whoever drinks from me will never be satisfied. Will never thirst again. Does that mean you won't thirst after the Lord again? No. We know we should be thirsty after the Lord. We should hunger. We should desire. And we're going to get to that now. But what he's saying, there's a pursuit of life after our own, like a Jacob. We want to be, okay, I'm going to supply, or I'm a Jesus. And there, I'm going to find the Spirit, and I'm going to find the seal of the Spirit, and I'm going to find the approval of the Father, and I'm going to be loved, and I'm going to know whatever my life has in front of me on this earth is anyway for that day. So there's a never thirst again in the sense of this. We're finding our settling within the Lord. It doesn't mean I'm not hungry tomorrow morning and I'm opening my word. But I know there's a straight and narrow in front of me. And that will lead straight to the face of Jesus. Never thirst again, and then it will become a spring of water. So I want to ask us this morning, in our hearts, have we set the Lord apart as the only one? As the only one. Is that okay? That's very good. Listen to David. Psalm 16. I love Psalm 16. I don't know if you guys are fans. Who likes Psalm 16? We got some people. Okay, cool. I like Psalm 16 specifically. When I was younger, I would focus on the presence of the Lord. You know, I don't know if you guys know this chapter very well. Benny Hume was like a Bible scholar, teacher, phenomenon. This is like a good chapter, but it ends with the presence. But I want to start quickly from the beginning. David, he says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. So first thing that David does, he comes to the Lord and he finds refuge. My hiding place. Where do we hide? We were talking about challenges life this morning. Where do I hide? And listen to verse 2. He says, I say to the Lord. Oh my goodness. I read this yesterday. It felt like for the first time. You are my Lord. And apart from you, I have no good thing. Oh my goodness. How often do we get caught up in other good things in our lives? Hey, we long for other good things. I must say, it's actually embarrassing to say this. A couple of years ago, and this happens to us all the time, I suppose, in different measures, but a couple of years ago, my wife and I were in Joburg for work, and we went to, after work, at the end of the day, we went to the mall, and I wanted to watch a movie. And then we checked what was on the movies, and there was this one movie that I wanted to watch, and I was like, I started to get excited. In the prayer room, we were talking about excitement this morning. So I get excited about this movie. I'm going to watch this movie now. And I've learned with my wife, you kind of have to like negotiate a bit. You have to motivate. Anyway, so in that next hour, she's like, yo, let me just think about it a little bit. I'm actually tired. I actually just want to eat and maybe go home. I'm like, we're here, man. It's like the biggest mall of Africa almost. I don't know. And it's a big screen probably, and it's going to be lacquer. Let's do it. And then she, after like a couple of moments, she said, I can't. I can't. I'm too tired. And guess what did I do? I was upset. That's embarrassing, eh? James talks about James 1, I think, talks about there's fights with amongst us because we don't get what we want. That's usually why we fight. And it's embarrassing to think how easily we get caught up. But Jesus came to take that embarrassment, that shame. So I'm not embarrassed anymore. But I'm telling you guys how easy it is for our flesh to find good things outside of the Lord. And I'm not saying don't do exercise and don't eat a chocolate every now and then. I would to monitor that, to regulate that, like can't, I don't know. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I think the only response that we can have today is, Lord, let that stir that in our hearts. Let this be in our. Can we have that on then? Just leave it there for a moment. And then verse 3. Listen now. Now David takes a little bit further, and I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. And I loved how Nardis was sharing this morning just about us as cousins coming all the way. But there's something when Jesus is on the center of our hearts, that his heart starts to flow through us. And his heart is for his people. There's no other thing that's great that weighs heavier on his heart than his people. So the moment Jesus is enthroned on our hearts, it becomes the good thing in our lives, the main thing, the number one thing. Then we start to see that the church, the bride, the people of God is the noble ones in whom his delight is and therefore our delight is. Whenever I think of Benny, if my heart is not thinking delight, then I'm lacking Jesus' heart. So I'm not, there's no condemnation, because surely every time Benny thinks of me, he's not calling me and getting all excited. But I feel the Lord just want to just bring us a little bit closer to his heart again today, where we realize, wow, when we look around us and we think about the people, the Lord wants to give us delight for one another. The noble ones. Not only does Jesus get the place of honor in our hearts, but his people as well. It's noble ones. We regard one another as noble ones. There's honor. There's brothers, there's sisters, there's cousins. There's opas and omas coming in. Whether how much sweeties they give or not, there's honor. So I feel just allow the Lord to bring that honor in our hearts and that delight. Hey, is that good? What do you think? Okay, cool. He's happy. Then I'm happy. He's one of my noble ones. So we see the heart for his people. And I love, Quentin was sharing this morning, is one of my verses actually today. Proverbs 11 verse 25 says, the generous man or person will prosper, but in whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Oh my goodness. Sometimes we wonder why we're not refreshed. But the moment we start to think about the heart of Jesus, start to think about the people around us, see, Lord, who can I refresh today? Who can I encourage today? And as you start to give, you know, you guys realize it costs giving. It costs something to give. You either have to give your time, you have to give some of your treasure, your money, your food. Stefan washed my dishes the other day. It takes time, and his hands are getting soft because he's a hard working hand. Now he has to get his heart and Anne's heart. Ah, come on. Toughen up those hands. So it's risky for a hardworking man like that to wash dishes. Because then it's... But giving... Yeah, there's all kinds of excuses. Amazing. But giving our lives to one another is what will give refreshment to us. Oh Lord. It's just something we can like, Lord, help us. Oh my goodness. Help us to be givers. Help us to be givers. Hey? Who wants to be better at giving? Come on. So in 2 Corinthians, I don't want to read the whole chapter actually. I just kind of want to just give a quick overview of it. But in 2 Corinthians 8, we see Paul writes about the church of Macedonia being such a good example. Okay? He talks about this grace of giving. And I want us to think about it as the wells in our hearts. We want our wells to be overflowing. Flow means it needs to flow. Okay? For that thing to flow, it needs to be unclogged. It needs to go. It's not something that's stagnant. What happens to water that is or are? How do you say water is or are? Is stagnant. It is stagnant. Okay, what happened to stagnant water? I could have bypassed the whole exercise, eh? What happens to stagnant water? Who knows? It becomes? What? Rotten, fraught. You can't drink it. It's actually not only not a blessing. It becomes a curse. It becomes a disease. So we really need to like, oh Lord, keep my heart flowing. Oh my goodness. Like we need it so much more than we actually realize. I actually realize it more and more this last couple of, like this year of my life. Especially when you got children. You're like, my Lord. Lord, we need this heart to flow. With love, with wisdom, with grace, with compassion. And what I love about 2 Corinthians 8, Paul writes in verse 5, and he says, they gave themselves, listen to this, first to the Lord. And we're just reading, so there's the first to the Lord. The Lord is the one thing, the main thing. It always stays. He is the one that we love. But then, secondly, he says to us, hey, listen, we've got it here. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. The question is again, are we given to one another? Hey? We're not just here attending. We're not just here sitting. It's like this question that Sammy was at, one of your words were, and it's so intertwined that, is the Lord a visitor or is he a resident? Is he just allowed to, and it's the same with one another. Are we visiting one another or are we belonging to one another? The moment, I'm like, I can tell literally over 100 stories of people in this room who has given their lives to us over the last 13 years. I can get emotional, my goodness. I'm like, Benny preached at our wedding, gave us our marriage counseling like 13 years ago. And Benny comes to us. Benny goes like, Donovan, I had to say whether you guys should marry, no. But the Lord can make it work. Hallelujah. And then like we remind each other. Like we mustn't try to dig our own well. Try to make our own supply. The Lord is the one who wants to make this life worth it. Every day, till that day. Our marriage, our parenting, our workplace, every relationship. I think of Annika. She's one of our favorite aunties in our church. She runs youth as well. And like small thing that she does, but it's a massive thing. Jesse's birthday, she calls us. Can't she take Jesse for a milkshake? She takes Jesse for a milkshake. That's what the auntie does. And it's a small thing, but it's a massive thing. It's almost like that step on the moon, eh? Small step for man, big step for mankind. I do want to remind us, when Jesus said, when you bring a cup of water to a little one, you're doing it to me, Jesus said. Every small step is a massive step in the kingdom. Because the flow, you keep the flow going. And if the moment, every small thing, every small gesture from washing dishes, to just taking a young one to for a milkshake, to sending a message and saying thank you for having us, or playing keyboard with spasms in your hand for 40 minutes. Every small thing. Willy not only coming to prayer meeting, having a word ready for prayer, coming here, having a prophetic word, also serving key, every small, and it can be small. Everyone not being acknowledged. MJ's dad supporting MJ, they're coming. That's a giving. That's MJ's dad, guys. Eugene. Womb Eugene, eh? And yeah, and your wife, eh? I haven't met you. What's your name? Andrea. Nice to meet you. And but every and I just want to say this is precious. You came not only to support, we came with. And I want to encourage us as we give our lives to one another. We're keeping the flow. We're keeping the love. I love, there's so much to love, eh? They gave themselves first to the Lord, secondly to us, eh? As is the will of God. Verse 10, listen to this. Not only do they give, let's read it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not trying to make rules now. There's a grace here. Okay, there's a supply here from the Lord. That though he was rich, this is not Jesus, yet for our sake or for your sake, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And I want to jump to the last sentence here. Last year, you were the first not only to give, listen to this, how beautiful this is, but also to have the desire to do so. If you're a parent and you ask your kid to do something, and they have the grumpy face, it hurts you, eh? A little bit. But when they show the desire to, I see some kids relate to it. And it's not just us as parents, it's kids as well. If our kid asks us to be involved in something in their lives, if we show them we've got a desire to do so, we're keeping the flow. We're keeping love. We're keeping relationship. And every time we give, not only the giving, but the desire. It's beautiful, eh? And in verse 12, Paul writes, now finish the work. Keep basically saying, yes, you've got desire, but now do the action so that your eager willingness, we were talking about willingness today as well, that it may be matched by a completion. Just say, now, let's step out. Let's do it. There's always a call to action in the kingdom. Always a call to action. Take the plow by the hand. Every morning, get into the mercies, and every day we live it out, eh? And according to your means. And I love this encouragement. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. Listen here. To what one has, not according to what one does not have. That's significant. Because sometimes we think, but I'm not graced or gifted like Pitti or Sunny or Andrew Selly. I don't want to preach, or I don't want to lead worship because I don't sing as nicely as MJ, or I'm not going to play drums because I can only play one beat. But that's fine. Washing the dishes, the gift is acceptable according to what one has. I feel the Lord is just stirring that encouragement in us. Whether it's a little hug or a massive gesture, let's give, eh? It's very good. It's very good. So I want to land this with the end of John chapter 4. We're going to go back to John chapter 4. We see the story. Let's go back. Verse 15. You don't have to put up the verses now. For now, we see the lady. So the Samaritan woman. She asked Jesus, "Give me this water." And Jesus meets her actually on a very personal level. He starts to tell her, "Go call your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." And he says, "Look, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had like five or four of them, and the one you've now isn't even your husband. And she says, I can see you're a prophet. And she says, but there's a Messiah coming who will teach us all things. And then Jesus said, he who speaks to you now, I am he. And I love how Jesus just reveals himself to her as he doesn't just start to preach something at her. He comes in and meets her even in her sin, where she's again with another husband, another guy who's not her husband. And he says, I am he. I'm the Messiah. And he comes to her. And he says, believe me, in verse 21, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. For true worship is this, that we worship our God in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks this kinds of worshipers. There's not many scriptures in the Bible where the Lord seeks something. But this is one of them. The Lord is seeking each one of us to become a people who worship Him in spirit and truth. That our lives become worship in spirit and truth. Where our lives and our hearts flow, because we know that every response that we allow from our hearts to flow from love is worship. Every heart response that we allow to flow from the Spirit, that is worship. Every heart response that we allow to flow from truth, as we daily seek to actually not only be spiritual people, but also encounter the Word of God and allow the Word to wash us. Everything becomes this life of worship, because that is the response of someone who has seen that apart from Jesus, there's no good thing. I actually want to encourage, I feel Nardis and MJ, I feel like you both actually had it right. Because our first response is worship, and that is our surrender. And then from that place of worship and surrender, we have a witness. And this witness cycles into another response from our hearts as we start to see the greatness of God. As other people start, that's again, worship arises. And I love this end of the story. What happens at the end of the story? Just listen to this. This is incredible. And this is what I really feel the Lord wants to, why it's so important that we allow the Lord to stir this in our hearts. Because this is what can happen. Verse 39 in John 4. Out of this testimony, the witness of this lady, as she went back, she started to witness. She started to speak of what she just encountered with Jesus himself. And it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. How incredible is this? So the witness start to flow, and now there's faith that arises in a town. And he told me everything I ever did. Oh my goodness, this is like amazing. So when the Samaritans came to him, and then they started running to Jesus. So our worship, our surrender, and our witness draw people to Jesus. For George, some of you live in Oudtshoorng. So we're in Mossel Bay. Wherever we are, we want the town to hear about Jesus through our witness. But it's not gonna come unless we come to Jesus. We submit to Jesus. We lay our lives down. We allow Him to give us living waters, and then we go out and we witness. And then we see the response. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. We have heard for ourselves." Oh my goodness. And now they're starting to hear the voice of Jesus. They're starting to encounter Jesus. And this is such a beautiful picture of our lives becoming a witness out of a place of worship. And now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And I actually want to ask us today, just as maybe we can stand, hey. We take a moment and maybe some of us need to actually come back to a place where we are given to the Lord first and foremost. And secondly, that we are given to one another to be a people who refreshes others with our hearts overflowing with living water, so that our worship will flow into witness and our witness will flow into people again worship. And our whole life becomes a cycle where we give our lives to Jesus. We devoted to, but we're also devoted to one another, and then let that flow. So I'm gonna make a call this morning. If you need to make Jesus the number one in your life again.